You're listening to the School Success Formula with me, Lucy Parsons. This is episode number 42. Hello and welcome to today's show. Today I've got an absolutely fantastic interview for you with Sophia Fenichel, who is talking to us about how to help you to expand your child's vocabulary. It's a really interesting podcast interview and I really, really enjoyed talking to Sophia. But before we go into that, I just wanted to let you know that if you think your child needs some one-on-one support from me with their exams and revision, there's one opportunity to do that on a one-off basis this school year, and that is next week. So I'm doing some one-off one-to-one coaching sessions on the 9th, 10th and 11th of April. So if you'd like to book in for one of those sessions, then all you need to do is send me an email, and my email address is lucy@lifemoreextraordinary.com. And I will let you know more about it. Now, the reason why you might want to take up the offer of one of these sessions is if you think there's something that your child is really stuck with that might be stopping them from getting started with their revision, or maybe stopping them working on their revision with all their power and all their might, or they're just really struggling with one particular aspect of their revision. This is 1 hour for me and your child to work out whatever that problem is. And after I've finished, I'll send you a full email write-up and then check in with you by email a week later to see how it's going and to see whether you need any more input or support. So as I said before, if you'd like to take me up on this offer, then please do email at lucy@lifemoreextraordinary.com. Also, if you're in the middle of the Easter holidays and you're wondering, your child doesn't seem to be putting the right amount of work into their revision, or they don't have a plan, you might want to download my Revision Kickstarter workshop. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And that is just, it's a 2-hour workshop. It's a recording of a live workshop that I did, but you can now download it and watch it at any time that you like. And it just guides your child through how to make a personalised revision plan, how to know which revision techniques they should be using, and how to incorporate revision into their day-to-day life once they return to school. So that's the Revision Kickstarter workshop, and I'll put a link to that in today's show notes, which you'll find at lifemoreextraordinary.com/42. Okay, let's go over to today's interview with Sophia. Our guest today is a self-confessed lover of words. She is a former technology analyst turned serial edtech entrepreneur. She is currently CEO and founder of Mrs. Wordsmith, a UK startup transforming how children learn new words. She lives in London with her husband and 2 children. Welcome to the School Success Formula, Sophia Fenichel.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's great to have you here. So firstly, Sophia, before we get into all the vocabulary stuff, can you tell us the story of how you became Mrs. Wordsmith?
That's so funny. I don't know if I'm actually Mrs. Wordsmith. She's a character that we've created and hopefully will be in a cartoon one day. But it's a cute story. A few years back, I was called in by the headmistress of my daughter's school, and she went to a very academic girls' school in London, and I was told that her writing skills were not as good as they needed to be for the 11 plus exam. And I was a bit surprised by that, to be honest, because I'm a really good writer, and I guess I thought it was somewhat hereditary, which she promptly said to me, it's absolutely not hereditary, so we can dispel that myth right away. And so I asked her for, you know, help, what should I do about it? And she gave me some advice, but it wasn't anything that I thought was going to turn around her situation. So I went to go see her English teacher, and, you know, English teacher said, well, you know, you could read more. And, you know, she already read quite a bit, so I didn't see that was going to work. And I actually went and looked at the UK curriculum on the website with her English teacher, and there wasn't really that much there to help shed light on the situation either. I mean, the curriculum is just a loose framework, it's like a set of laws, and they still has to be interpreted by teachers or parents. So I thought, what am I going to do? So then I did what most moms do. You buy everything you can on Amazon, waste a lot of money.
Yeah, I've heard that story before.
Yeah, which I did. And every time the delivery came, you know, I was like, what is wrong here? I mean, none of this stuff is really going to help her become a better writer. And it's one of those funny things where you don't bother returning it either, right? Because it's too much work to bother. And at one point, my husband got very annoyed with me and was like, you cannot keep spending all this money on Amazon. And at that point, I started to think, you know, there's a problem here. And it's bigger than just what's happening to my daughter. So as the story goes, I made my own solution. And it was basically curating her vocabulary the way a writer would create their vocabulary. In the research world, we call this developing word consciousness. You know, the ability to look at words and say, why is this word a better word choice than another word? And to have a love of words and the whole process of selecting them. And so that's what we did for 3 months. And, you know, you can imagine it was so successful that I taught her to say, it's not just wind, it's raging wind, you know, and it's an electrifying storm. It's not just a very bad storm. And the characters got bulging eyes and they've got a vile temper and you know, using descriptive vocabulary. She proceeded to ace her exams, and everybody on the school run said to me, show me the words. They were so impressed by her progress, because, of course, I complained to my girlfriends and said, oh, what am I going to do? And she remains a good writer to this day, actually. And that's the story of Mrs. Wordsmith. And actually what happened then was so many people came up to me and asked me for help that I thought, you know what, there's something here. So being a former tech analyst, I'm hyper analytical. I went and started speaking to, you know, university professors around the world and reading a lot of research. And I came back with the thesis that vocabulary is absolutely fundamental to academic success. It's fundamental to life success, right? If you speak well, people perceive you better. And additionally, if you could illustrate language and bring humor to it, that kids would be more engaged and remember it more. And so that's how Mrs. Wordsmith started.
That's a brilliant story. I think the question I've got there is, how did you come to the realization that vocabulary was the specific problem with your daughter's writing? Because, you know, I've seen an awful lot of writing in my work as a teacher and an academic coach. And, you know, sometimes I look at it and I think it's the structure. And other times I look at it and think they just don't understand what they're actually trying to write about. So what was it that pointed you to vocabulary in particular?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, there are a couple of things. I mean, first of all, at her age, she was 11. So they do understand structure very well, that a story has a beginning, middle, and end, right? Mm-hmm. Or it has a problem and a solution. At 11, you can, as you know from being a teacher, comprehend that. So then, you know, it comes, what is story? It's structure. It's the words that you put around that structure, scaffolding, and then it's grammar and punctuation. So that's how you top and tell your story. And in her case, I knew she understood the structure. The grammar and punctuation needed work. So that's just rote learning. Mm-hmm. It was the language around bringing that story to life.
Yeah.
Was lacking. And I would argue, actually, with our young Mrs. Wordsmith subscribers, learning that language early and first is important, because children lack confidence. And if they feel very comfortable in the world of words, then they're much more likely to dive into the problem solution or the other pieces of the story with a high degree of comfort. They become better readers.
Yes.
They notice words when they read. They notice how words are being used. I mean, This concept of word consciousness is absolutely fundamental to unlocking academic achievement, in my view, and in the view of researchers.
Well, yeah, and what I see, you know, I help students with improving their exam grades, and what I see an awful lot of the time is that students just don't understand the questions that they're being asked, and some of that is not understanding the vocabulary that is being used to ask the questions, and so they can't possibly give a good answer if they don't know what's actually being asked.
I agree with that 100%, and it's even more than that. It's feeling insecure about decoding words in general. You know, the more what our program does for people that's great is if you just expose them to a lot of words, then they become comfortable with it. It's a known commodity. It's not something new. You know, the word audacious, we've got 6-year-olds learning it. So when they hear it, they might not 100% remember it means bold and daring, but they directionally remember it. But equally, they don't feel uncomfortable trying to read it. It's not putting them off the task of reading it in context.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's so important. You know, last night I was reading and I came to a word that I didn't know. And I asked my husband and he didn't know. And I've actually looked it up in the dictionary this morning because I thought I was going to be talking to you. I should be on my ball with my vocabulary. But it has that nasty feeling, doesn't it, when you come across a word that you don't know. It kind of makes you feel a bit stupid, doesn't it? And like you can't access things properly, and that's not a good feeling for a child, is it, to make them feel small and stupid and that kind of thing?
It's not, and there's research on this, but I mean, you know, it's like reading a legal document, right? I read a legal document for 2 minutes and I want to put it down. So for a child, reading a book where they can't access the vocabulary is like you and I reading a legal document. And the research shows that if a child doesn't understand more than 2% of the words in a book, that they're put off from it.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine that. And, you know, I think I've had that same experience myself. A year 11 student asked me the other day, so he's 15, 16. He said, what could he do to expand his vocabulary before his GCSE exams, which are coming up in, 2-3 months' time? So what advice would you give him about how to actually expand his vocabulary?
Yeah, that's a good one. So there are a couple of things. The most important thing you could do in secondary school is start as early as you can. Now, 2-3 months is not enough time, but it's helpful. Reading something like The Economist. Mm-hmm. News in general has a different kind of type of vocabulary that tends to be more analytical vocabulary, more persuasive vocabulary, more what you're likely to be exposed to across the GCSEs, more cross-curricular vocabulary. Yes. And news has a higher vocabulary count, this is statistical, generally speaking, than other forms of media. It tends to be very vocabulary rich because journalists try and use good words, right? And a lot of politically related words and historical words and words like assess and compare and contrast. And so that, I would say, is just good advice for anyone to read one article a week and note the words you don't know. But it's not so bad if you get into the habit. I think if you're on a crash course, interestingly, we're not out with this product yet, but we are about to launch based on mining data from the types of words that appear across these sources, persuasive analytical vocabulary. There are a few hundred words that get used over and over again. You could Google these kinds of words, words to use in analytical writing, expository writing, persuasive writing, and find some lists and try and familiarize yourself with some of them. Unfortunately, there's not a really good product out there in the market right now. Okay. And the reason is that they're done editorially. And they're not done using data. And it's just a lot of people Googling things and making hodgepodge lists of 40 words. And who's to say one list is better than another? So we are trying to solve that problem.
Fantastic. So it sounds like if, for example, they read an article on like the BBC News website or The Guardian or The Telegraph, which are kind of open source news websites, that would be really helpful, like every day leading up to exams. That would be a good way to expand vocabulary.
it would every day and write down or look up a couple of the words you don't know. Yeah. I think another, this is a little bit of a cheat, but you know, there's the vocabulary that you're presented with that surprises you that you have to decode. Mm-hmm. And if you're reading newspapers, you'll probably, you might come across them before the exam, but then there's the vocabulary that helps you express yourself on the exam and you can control that.
Yeah.
So you can start to, you know, learn words around analysis, like illuminate, portray, depicts, illustrates, you know, a compare, contrast, and maybe start with trying to improve your own writing and how you approach explaining things that might appear on an exam. At least you'll get higher marks in those areas if you come across a word you don't know.
Yes.
And able to answer that one.
Definitely. So what I would recommend there is, like, if you, for example, do a practice English literature essay and you go back to it, read it back and say, pick a particular paragraph and maybe look in the thesaurus for alternative better words that you could have used instead of the words that you actually used in the in that particular paragraph. You have to be a bit careful with that kind of thing, I think, because you can, if you're not really familiar with the vocabulary in the thesaurus, you can end up picking the wrong word. But I think that's a good way to kind of start thinking about how you could express yourself in a slightly different way.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's very important, is learning. That's a good suggestion. How to express yourself in a very different way. That's the core of what we do. We show you the words and we show you the way. So and you can figure that out to a degree on your own.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Okay, so if you haven't got a year 11 student who's just on the cusp of taking their GCSEs, maybe you've got children a little bit younger, what can parents do to start expanding their children's vocabulary?
Well, you know, obviously I'm going to say use Mrs. Wordsmith because it really does work. You know, we've won a lot of industry accommodations on this. Schools are using it now. But
So just tell us how it works, Sophia. So tell us what it does.
I'll tell you what it does, and then I'll give you some homegrown solutions too, because, you know, I really care that people just expand their vocabulary. And they don't have to buy our product to do it. We make it easy for you, and we try and keep the price down. But obviously, there are many ways to do it, and I'm supportive of all these ways, whether it's through us or through your own efforts. So what we do that makes it easier is we curate the words. So first of all, we mine the English language, and we assess which words appear more frequently than others. And so we then cull the words that are more frequent, because we don't want children to waste time learning a lot of words that are random. So we will overweight or focus on the words that are more likely to appear in books and literature and newspapers, because then kids will come across it on their exams and in the books they read. The second thing we do is we curate it thematically, which is what the research does. So the current product we have out there is called the Narrative Journey, and we teach you about character and appearance, sounds and settings, tastes and smell, actions, emotions, all the things that go into writing a good story. Mm-hmm. And we teach you a word a day or two words a day. It's very easy. And it's through illustrations. We illustrate them with these Hollywood illustrators that do really funny illustrations around it. And then there's a little word puzzle on the back to help you unlock the meaning, that's also data driven. And the idea is that it's supposed to be fun. And if you're learning a couple words a day, you can quickly build up your arsenal of words.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And that's really good for visual learners as well. You know, the children who don't naturally want to read quite as much, if they've got the pictures to illustrate what the different words mean.
It's 100% true. It's great for visual learners. It's great for young children. You know, our sweet spot is kind of, it's 7 to 11, but in particular, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds really love it. And it's important to start learning words at that age. If you don't want to buy a product, if you don't have the resources or you're not interested in that, then the best thing you can do is read books that are slightly challenging, but you have to write down the words you don't know. The research shows that kids skip over hard words, and it's as if they never read them. So if you are going to do a more homegrown solution, you need to actively mine the books, what we do with data, yourself, and write them in a diary and look them up in the dictionary. And you know, that's a good thing. I do that with my children as well, but it's laborious. We forget, we don't keep up with it. And so we tried to create a program that's easy for people to keep up with and that's, you know, priced at under £20 a month so that it's affordable.
Yeah. My daughter, I mean, she's a great reader. She's just turned 8 and she doesn't want to slow herself down to look words up. She's got a little electronic dictionary bookmark, which she had for Christmas, and she doesn't want to slow herself down to look things up. So, yeah, I completely get where you're coming from with that. The other thing I just wanted to put in there was that my dad, when I was growing up, he was obsessed with looking things up in the dictionary. And nearly every meal time, we'd look up 2 or 3 different words in the dictionary that just came up in conversation. Or he did crossword puzzles every day, and he'd be looking those things up. So the dictionary was more important in the kitchen than the cookbooks.
And by the way, it's about the kitchen table, right? Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really interesting insight. It's so much of life. Our products were designed for the kitchen table. So much of life happens around the kitchen table. And if you can add a little bit of learning, you know, instead of spice maybe or salt to your food, that's a really good opportunity to learn words. Really good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Okay, that's brilliant. So my next question is reading the key to a wider vocabulary, or is a wider vocabulary what makes reading accessible?
Yeah, I mean, which came first, the chicken or the egg? So it's a very good question. What the research says is that, you know, it's a bit of both. Reading is key to a wider vocabulary on the condition, according to the research, that one, you read a lot, you know, an hour a day, and two, that you're reading challenging texts actively, you know, not skipping over the words and trying to glean what they mean. Mm-hmm. So if you do that, which most people don't do between the age of 7 and 17, some people do, then reading is enough. If you don't do that, then you need to supplement your reading with vocabulary. And arguably, if you learn vocabulary young and you're interested in words, it leads to what we call word consciousness. And it actually will make you a more active reader. It will benefit your reading journey. So, you know, they are quite hand in hand. Yeah. You either have to take the vocabulary out of your reading, or you have to bring the vocabulary to your reading.
Yeah, or both simultaneously.
Or both.
Okay, so how do you know, I think we've touched on this a little bit, but how do you know which words a young person actually needs to know to succeed in life? Like, I've heard in the past that, you know, the vocabulary of the Sun newspaper is really, really limited, whereas other newspapers use a wider range of vocabulary. So how do you know what's enough, really?
That's such a good question. So we think we know. We think it's 10,000 words, approximately. Now, this is a generalization. It's not precisely 10,000 words. But if you learn the way the English language is structured, there are 1 million words, okay? And if you break down those words and you take out very archaic words, words that people don't use anymore, and you take out the derivations of words, snow, snowing, snowed, and you look at what's in kind of a big dictionary, you're probably at 45,000 words. Mm-hmm. And if you keep whittling that down by taking out super easy words and super difficult or domain-specific words, maybe, like lakh, which is an ancient Indian currency, which may be in a dictionary, but isn't that useful, you come to a body of words, words like determined and bulging and compare, contrast, assimilate, integrate, tantalizing, scrumptious, right? What we call tier two words in academic circles. Tier one words would be cat, dog, run, walk, and tier three words would be scientific words, medical words. So those tier two words, we believe, there are approximately 10,000 of them that are really worth learning. And we think we can teach them over a 10-year period through apps and products and by exposing kids to them and through reading.
That's so exciting. And I just want to say how much I loved listening to you list those words. They're just, I love words as you do. And it was, just so amazing just hearing those wonderful words being said out loud. Yeah, so that's really interesting that you think it take 10 years, because I was like, 10,000 words, one word a day, that's an awful lot of days.
But that would be 3 words a day. But, you know, you don't, this is something that's very important. You don't have, there's something called passive word learning, receptive word learning. You don't have to necessarily know the meaning of every word precisely to be academically successful and to have, to be considered well-spoken in life. Mm-hmm. Even I don't know a lot of words, but if you can kind of suss it out, or if you kind of remember what it meant and you're in the right direction, that's enough to work through complex text. And it's also enough that the second and third time you see it, you really do internalize it, yeah. Right? You're not shunning from it. So I think that people get all fixated about vocabulary and think I have to memorize all these words and I have to remember them. You don't have to memorize all of them, and you don't have to learn it all the first time. You just have to feel comfortable being exposed to lots of difficult words.
It's I always talk about just getting out of your comfort zone, and it's just pushing yourself slightly out of your comfort zone every day, and then you become comfortable in that new zone, don't you? And then you push the comfort zone a little bit further, and you, by doing that, you learn and learn and learn and learn, don't you?
Yes, it's flexing a muscle. It's like exercising, right? And or going to the gym or playing football. You know, the more balls you kick, the better you're going to get at kicking that ball.
Yeah, definitely. So my last question.
It doesn't mean you're going to shoot a goal every time. It just means you're going to have better ball skills.
Definitely, definitely. You just get better and better. And that's all anybody can ask, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
My last question, how can school and parents work together to expand teenagers' vocabulary? So I know you work mainly with primary school children, so I don't know which experience you want to draw on, but most of the listeners will be parents of teenagers.
Yes. So, first of all, if your teenager has a poor vocabulary, our program will work really well for them. The words are very hard in it. Words like audacious. It's just that our current program is targeted towards narrative or storytelling. Our second program, which will launch later in the year, will be targeted at the teenage audience, because those are those analytical, persuasive words that you need to learn. Mm-hmm. But I think the key is no one has a lot of time. So go find those news articles, read one or two a week with your child, and find two words that are difficult and talk about them. And if you do that twice a week, you will change your child's relationship with reading and with vocabulary, I think. So you don't have to overdo it.
No. Okay, well, that's fantastic, Sophie. It's really interesting to hear you talk about this and to hear about the kind of scientific approach you've taken and how exciting it is to learn all these new words. Where can people find out more about you and Mrs. Wordsmith?
So sweet. It's at www.mrswordsmith.com.
Brilliant. And are you on social media as well?
And yes, we have a Facebook page. We're very active on Facebook and we respond right away. You can ask us questions and people are very active about responding. You can email us as well, info@mrswordsmith.com. We answer all our emails. So we have tried to keep very close to schools and students and parents and understand, you know, their needs. And we're constantly also looking to improve our products.
Fantastic. Well, I'll put all those links in the show notes. So, yeah, thank you so much, Sophia, for coming on the
show. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. And I'll catch up with you later. Thanks, Lucy.
Thanks. Bye. Wasn't that a great interview with Sophia? I really enjoyed it. I'm a very wordy person anyway, and I've always loved words and reading and all that kind of thing. But I just thought she had so much wisdom, and particularly her point about getting your child to read news articles, I thought was absolutely brilliant, because not only will that help them to increase their vocabulary, but it will also help them to widen and deepen their knowledge, which is something that I encourage all students to do who I've worked with one-to-one or through my study skills course for parents and students, the exam success formula. And so if I was to give you some guidance, I'd get your child to try to read articles connected with the subjects they're studying. So that might be science articles if they're doing science GCSEs or A-levels, or it might be arts articles, or it might be things about the environment and the planet if they're interested in geography. So get them to read articles that will not only help them to expand their vocabulary, but will also help them to know more about the subjects they're studying in school and give them that wider and deeper knowledge. So the last thing I wanted to tell you is that when Sophia and I finished the recorded interview, she really kindly offered a discount code for Mrs. Wordsmith. So that's her vocabulary learning program for children. And she's offered a 10% off any subscription. And the voucher code is Success Formula 10. And that's all one word. So it's SUCCESSFORMULA 10, as in 10. So if you just want to make sure you've got that right, come over to the show notes, which you'll find at livemoreextraordinary.com/42, and you can just check that. And that is available until the end of April and is accessible to UK and US customers. So the last thing I wanted to say today is that there's two other podcast episodes that you might want to listen to that are connected with what Sophia and I discussed today. The first of these is episode number 6, so way back early on in the podcast, and that's called Inspiring Creativity to Support Academic Success. And Jill Pawley, who was my interviewee that day, and I talk about how to get your child doing creative writing to improve their writing skills so that they're better able to write in exams. And then a more recent episode, episode 40, which was a solo episode by me, which is called 3 Ways to Improve Your Exam Technique Fast. And that talks about language and vocabulary and understanding the question as well, which is something that I talked about with Sophia on today's podcast. So I really hope those resources will help you, and do have a look at Sophia's website and how her vocabulary materials could help your child if you're worried about the extent of their vocabulary. So all it remains for me to say today is thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. And goodbye.